Hello and welcome to the Faith and Football Podcast, where we discuss the intersection of our faith and the game of soccer. Tune in for insightful discussions and inspiring stories where the beautiful game meets spiritual reflection. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Faith and Football Podcast. You know, I bet it was kind of weird to hear me roll the intro and then do this intro.
Oh, yeah.
Because normally I don't do this. I'm your co-host, Logan Bryant, and I'm joined today by our host. How do you even introduce this?
Yeah, I'm a co-host too. We're just co-hosts together. Hey, yeah. I'm Rusty.
Yeah, this is Rusty Bryant, and I'm sure you can hear him laughing because he laughs at literally everything. We also have Luke Bryant on the line. He's trying to control his laugh, and I don't know why.
That was funny. That was a good intro.
We can hear you, by the way. So
my bad.
Today we're joined by the third Bryant. Well, the third boy Bryant, and
sounds like a boy band.
Yeah,
the boy Bryant.
Oh yeah, that's nice. I bet we could have a boy band.
Bye bye bye.
Yeah, and there goes copyright. We're screwed. It's been a good episode. We'll see you guys next time on the Faith of... No.
We'll catch that. They won't catch that.
Yeah, probably not. But hey, we're joined today with Luke. Obviously, we're just going to jump right into it. We know his story, but you guys don't, most likely. So Luke is actually a local legend, like for real. Like this dude, it's pretty cool. But he doesn't know that I said that.
Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, I'm his brother, so I shouldn't have said that. But we're going to jump right into it. Luke, what time is it for you? Is it really late for you right now? It's 11, right?
It's 11 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah,
it's all right, though. I took a good nap earlier. I'm good. Ready to roll.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, you still good for today? And I got no answer.
Well, here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing about this. We're recording this at 10 p.m. in Mississippi, 11 p.m. in North Carolina. And you were in Mississippi, but I ate breakfast and went to church with this guy this morning in North Carolina.
Yep.
You did do that.
And then I teleported myself back to Mississippi.
Just for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going back up tomorrow.
No, I'm not. Definitely not. That was a long drive, by the way. All right, hey, let's get into this thing.
Let's do it.
All right, so local legend, Luke Bryant. What we want to hear first is we just want to hear your soccer journey. Tell us your soccer journey and how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, grew up being around the game, playing all the time. My dad, Rusty, started Mighty Mites when I was 3 years old, and so got to be the first group of kids to do Mighty Mites and stuff. And then just as I grew up, I played club for Bria, played rec soccer. I played once I got to middle school and high school, I played soccer in Alabama for Alabama FC. And so that was a great opportunity. And I got to, you know, be seen by a lot of college coaches and things like that. And so after I graduated high school, I went to where I am now. I'm at Davidson College. It's in North Carolina. I've played a great 4 years here, been pretty successful. My senior year this past year, made it to the playoffs and won our first A-10 tournament game ever for the school. They used to be in the SoCon, so they've won a SoCon game, but haven't won an A-10 playoff game. So that was a big accomplishment. Just a lot of fun games here, met a lot of great people, and I've really enjoyed my time here. And then because I was a freshman during COVID, we got an extra year to play, so I get to play a fifth year at Oregon State. Our old assistant coach, Jared Brookins, he coached here at Davidson for a couple years my sophomore and junior year. And he went up to Oregon State. So that's the connection I have there. And he gave me a call and was like, you want to come play? And I said, absolutely, I do. So super excited about that. And can't wait to see what the rest of my career holds. So.
Well, you gave the very abbreviated version.
Yeah,
maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
And maybe it feels
Do you
that
want
way.
More of it?
No, you did a good job. Maybe I just felt like because I lived every
Yeah, you lived
minute
the 18
of it,
years.
So.
Or wait. Gosh, you're not 18.
19 years because he started playing when he was 3. He's 22.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so there was you left out a lot, but I guess we kind of have to for time's sake.
For time's sake, I didn't want to get into very many details, but yeah. I'm happy to if you need
know,
me to.
You know what I realized? He kind of skipped his high school career.
Well,
because I bagged 2 rings and he didn't get any. I just
look,
thought everybody
look,
needs to know
you,
that
look,
he skipped over
you,
that.
You got the 2 rings in that, but next year at Oregon State, we're going to go for a national championship
ring.
Oh,
he's
going
to get the natty.
I think that one trumps your high school rings, I think. But
well, you don't have
You
to
did
yet,
get two so. Of those. You do get 2 of those, and I hopefully can get 1, so we'll see.
All right, so you did give the very abbreviated version, which is fine because we can't go through it all, but since you are a local legend, and since this is the local legend, all of these episodes are about the local legend. So tell us, you did pass over it, but tell us about your experience playing right here for Clinton High School.
Yeah, it was great. I started playing. I got on the team as a 7th grader. Because back then we didn't have a junior high team, so 7th graders were out there playing with seniors in high school, and obviously that is a huge difference in age and size and skill and all that. But I got on the team when I was a 7th grader, and then in 8th grade I finally got my chance to get out there and play a little bit. I started a game because we were missing some guys early in the season, and so after that game, I started since. And so I, you know, played high school soccer from 8th grade to senior year, playing pretty much every game, most of the 90 minutes or 80 minutes, I guess, in high school. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, it was great. Coach Tyler Wade was my coach the whole time. Had Corey Jerski and, he was around for a good bit of it too, and they were great. And a lot of guys, you know, that I played with that I will be friends forever with. So it was a great time to be playing with those guys and be a Clinton era. So I enjoyed that a lot. Unfortunately, like Logan said, I did not get a ring, but I had lots of other good memories playing for that long for that high school team. So it means the world to me to have played for them for that long. And it's one of my favorite teams I've ever played for. So
that's awesome. Well, it was fun watching both of you guys play for the same school that I played for many, many years ago. And, you know, I've said this before, but as far as high school soccer goes, there's no regrets. Looking back on y'all's careers, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I got, dragged out to every single one of your high school games. Which
in
was
the freezing
fun.
Cold.
In the freezing cold. And at the time I was like, I don't really care. But I did grow to appreciate just how like in control you were every time you stepped out onto the field. And honestly, I don't even know if I've told you this, but there were times this year when I was just so bored in class. Well, not so bored, just looking for entertainment. And I'd pull up your huddle highlights and watch them.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, why is this kid actually half good at soccer?
Half good.
And so just coming out of the programs that we have here in Clinton, and then you moved on to BUSA. And that was what years were that again?
I think 9th grade. I don't even know what year that was.
That's right. 9th or 12th grade.
Yeah, 9th grade. 9th or 12th grade. Yeah. Because it was BUSA. And then I think like junior and senior year, it was Alabama FC when we played ECNL. Yeah.
So to show how much everybody in this family loves and supports Luke, his home games were in Birmingham.
which is 3.5 hours away from us.
So if we were hey, Luke has a soccer game this weekend, we weren't driving 15 minutes to Traceway. We were driving 3.5 hours to, what is it? The Red Diamond Sportsplex or something like that. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous, the amount of time that we put in traveling back and forth. But obviously it ended up being worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to say, like, if it wasn't for, you know, you guys and, like, actually caring enough to be like, you know what, yeah, Luke, you can go play home games in Alabama, and driving me there and, you know, hotels and food and all that, like, all the resources we had to use were definitely worth it and getting me here. So thank y'all for caring enough about me and my career to be able to, you know, take the time to do that. So I appreciate
you. Look at that. We didn't tell him to say that at all.
All right. We did.
It was not scripted, I swear.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's so much that we could, there's so many things we could talk about. But real quick, one of the things that I want to say or talk about for a second and ask you about. You grew up around Bria. And I mean, mm-hmm. you followed us around, you know, I mean, I even read a comment from an opposing team that we competed against for years and years and years. And the guy that runs their team, when he saw that you were going to Oregon State, he chimed in and said, "Oh, I remember when Luke used to travel to all of the games as a little kid." And so, you know, you were just around forever, but something really cool happened. Of course, COVID happened, and we didn't even have a 2020 season, but we came back in 2021, and you had just finished your freshman year of college, and you got to suit mm-hmm. up for the USL2 team. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was I'll never forget it. I just remember the first game. Like, I'd obviously been around it since I was 5 years old, and so you know, being able to finally get out there was a big moment for me, and finally getting to put on the jersey that I've been wanting to wear since I was 5 years old, you know. And so I just remember, like, putting it on and going, sitting on the bench and just, like, sitting there just more nervous than anything, because I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm finally getting to do this. And then I subbed in, and I just remember the Blue Battalion, the supporter section, started, like, chant my name and stuff, and I was just like, this is so cool. Like, they, you know, I know most people in those stands, and so it was just really cool for me to be able to finally get out there and for people to watch me play for the club that I grew up being around, and it meant the whole world to me. So
yeah, I mean, the storyline of you, like, being around the team for ever and ever, you know, when you said five, I kind of checked up because I was one when the team was founded.
Yeah.
And so I had to do some quick math. But, I mean, 5 years old, and then you end up getting the chance to play, what, how many years later was that? Like, you were probably 19, 20?
I was like 21. 14, 15. It was 2021, so.
Yeah, like 14, 15 years.
19.
Yeah.
19,
and
yeah.
That many years later, you were able to walk onto the field wearing the Bria badge. And we would always kind of, like, say it to each other, like, oh, yeah, one day we're going to get out there and be able to hang with those guys. And you actually can. I can't. And so...
Nah, you can.
Being able to watch you be a part of that was just honestly surreal. Like, even for me, like, I was nervous for you when you stepped out onto the pitch, and I was definitely screaming your name alongside the Blue Battalion. But, Dad, how did that make you feel over there?
Well, yeah, that was cool. But, I mean, you know, it was funny, though, because... Yes, Luke, he plays, and he'll play again this summer. But you're really running everything, Logan. So that's kind of the
nice.
I mean, you're in charge of everything now. So
yeah, I actually run the USL2 team. Just kidding.
Well, but it is funny though that so many people, I mean, even at church, like, have been coming up. Man, I've been really enjoying keeping up with all the players and the player announcements, and I'm like, yeah, that's Logan. Logan's doing all that stuff. So I mean, it. You know, you guys are just kind of jumping right in the middle of everything. But yeah, it was cool. And the crazy thing about that year, 2021, we were so good. And, you know, Luke being just off of his freshman year, I didn't really know how much he would play. Mm-hmm. And he came in, I think, as a sub, like he mentioned. But then, Luke, I don't even know if you really remember this, but we were on an away trip, and you had been playing some, but Arturo mm-hmm. pulled up lame on his hammy.
Yeah.
And he was our right back. And I mean, the dude was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
so good.
Like, I watched him play in the USL Championship last night mm-hmm. for New Mexico United, but he pulled up lame, and so he was out for probably, I mean, it was several weeks, and so you had to mm-hmm. you had to plug in there at right back. And when he came back, it was like, well, we're not taking Luke off the field. And so he ended up moving into the midfield.
Yeah, that's right.
And played in the midfield, and Luke stayed back there at right back. So it was a great, it was such a fun year, and just fun seeing that.
So I agree. Something just kind of like hit me while we were talking. So this is what we're about to do. We're about to go and transition into talking about Luke's faith. And when that kind of comes to an end, we're going to tell Luke Bryant stories.
Okay.
Like, one specifically comes to mind when we were traveling to FC Dallas.
I was gonna bring that up, too.
These things just pop into my head.
Bring that on him. All right, let's go.
So you can stick around to find out what exactly we're talking about. But, Luke, I wanted to talk just a little bit about your faith journey. I was able to walk alongside you with most of that. We kind of were figuring some things out together. And then obviously you went up to Davidson. You were 12 hours away from home. You were trying to find a church family. You were trying to find a group of guys to go with. And eventually you found all those things. But I want you to talk a little bit about the transition period and like kind of how you went about doing that and just how that grew your faith as well.
Yeah, obviously, like, growing up, you know, with the family that we're in, like, we always were in church, and faith was always, like, a big part of our lives and stuff. And for me, I think before college, like, I obviously, like, believed in God and everything, but a lot of it was just because of, like, family and, like, the relationships that I had at home and stuff. And so, like, I think that when I finally did get to college, I kind of had to figure out like, hey, I have to make this my own. Mm. You know, like it wasn't, I didn't have my family like waking me up every Sunday morning, going to church. I didn't have, a lot of friends that would, you know, go with me and do like, you know, Bible studies and camps and like all that type stuff. But then when I got to college, I had to figure out like, hey, you know, this is just me up here, you know, and like, nobody's going to wake me up and take me to church. So, you know, I started off going to, Elevation, which it wasn't super far. It was like 15, 20 ish minutes away. I kind of went just cause I'd heard of the church before and I knew of the pastor and stuff. And there's a lot of Sundays that I'd kind of wake up and, text people and be like, hey, like I'm going at this time, and like wouldn't hear from anybody. And so like a lot of times I'd kind of just go to church by myself. And that was, you know, it was hard, of course, because I wanted like that community to like my friends and stuff to join me and all that. And but at the same time, like it was good for me because I had to figure it out on my own. And so then when I guess it was, oh geez, probably Christmas of sophomore year, I think. I think that's when it was. we started going to a church called Multiply, which short version of the story is one of my roommates and best friend up here, his name's James. He's from Tampa, and he had an old youth pastor that was at the time had moved up here and gone to Multiply, and he was the worship leader there. And he kind of found that James was at Davidson and DM'd him on Instagram and said, hey, you guys should come check it out. And so we were like, you know what, let's go check it out. Like, since you know this guy, we went for the first time right before Christmas. We literally, is the last Sunday we were here. And we walked in, and it just felt different than the church I'd been going to, just because like people recognized that it was our first time there. They tried to meet us, like talk to us, like have good conversation with us. And then me and I guess there's like four guys with me, a couple from my team, and then my two best friends up here. And we walked in and like sat down, and it was, you know, the music was great, like pastor was great. And as the preacher was talking, he was going around the room and like calling people by name. And like at that point we're like, oh dude, like he cares enough about his church to like know people by name instead of just being up there talking like he's supposed to do and then be done. And he's calling people by name, and he turned to us and like kind of made eye contact with us, and he was like, I don't know y'all, but blah blah, and like said his thing. And he was like, and he said, come talk to me after service. And we're like, dude just looked out into the crowd and realized he'd never met us before. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. And he wants to talk to us. And so we stayed after he talked to us, and we kind of got to know him a little bit. And then from then on, like, we just kept going there. We fell in love with it. We've made great relationships with the people there, the pastors, of course. And he actually owns a coffee shop on Main Street, which is like kind of a little downtown area in Davidson, that I started working at a couple years ago. And so we've just become very, very involved and invested in that church. And we've gotten more and more people to come to church and stuff with us from the college. And it's just been great to see like the impact that that church has had on people, and the impact that like me and my friends have had on people that didn't ever necessarily like grow up going to church, or either they did and got to college and kind of turned away from it a little bit, and we've gotten them kind of back into it. And I think that's been really special, and honestly probably my like the thing that I'm most proud of being in college is just the relationships that we've built through that, and the impact that we've had on people, getting them to church and getting them involved and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, what a great story. Just that something that really jumped out at me in previous episodes, we always hear like, hey, I had this community, and for you, you didn't have it immediately. And you kind of had to build that up, which speaks volumes about you and about the group that you eventually found. And so it was cool from an outside perspective to see you walk through that and journey through that as well as you did. And then you found numbers. So, I mean, you guys were at church this morning. What was the crowd like today? Did we have a pretty good crowd today?
There was actually a pretty decent crowd. I think there was probably four of my teammates and then like five guys that we just have gotten to be friends with over the years. And then Dad was there. So it was a good group. But Zach, Pastor Zach told me a couple of days ago, or I guess it was, he told me today at church, he was like, yeah, like make sure you bring a bunch of guys like the right before y'all graduate, like the last Sunday, because we graduate on a Sunday, so the week before will be our last one. And he was like, make sure you bring everybody, like we're gonna do a little graduation thing. Oh, and that, and cool. I think that's cool too, that like they care enough about us and like know how much of an impact we've had on people and on the church, and that the church has had on us, that they want to like celebrate that a little bit. And I think that's cool too, because not a lot of places would, you know, care enough to have a whole little like, hey, make sure you bring people, we're going to celebrate y'all a little bit. Yeah. So,
well, we, you know, when you started, when you first went up there, I mean, it was the middle of COVID, and I mean, things were just, they were awful, and just, I mean, the whole country was awful. And I remember you going to church every Sunday, and most Sundays, or a lot of Sundays, you were getting up and going by yourself, like you said. And I remember your mom and I, we would say, we don't know whether or not to be sad or just extremely proud. And I think we were a little bit of both, you know, just really desiring for you to have some community, you know, and some support around you. But the fact that you were getting up and just going on your own, but man, I mean, just your faithfulness through that, and then to see what happened. Mm-hmm. And like every time I've gone, there's been, you know, at least a couple of carloads of people from the school, and y'all just pack them in like sardines, and you get there and everybody piles out of the cars. I mean, just like it was this morning. And, you know, I'm not going to tell, I mean, there's obviously a story from this morning, and that's somebody's story to tell, yeah. But just to throw that out, I mean, there was, you know, a friend and a teammate that came with you this morning and indicated that he had turned his life over to Jesus during the service this morning. And like, that's not a small thing, you know, and, you know, I obviously don't want to step on toes and tell somebody else's story, but just, that's just incredible. And, you know, I texted you afterwards and I was like, there are people that will be in the kingdom because of you. And, that's not a small thing. Mm-hmm. So, but I know that it's also been a very hard place because, it's very different from Clinton, Mississippi. Your surroundings are not like, what you've been used to, but I think that, you've handled that really well.
Another thing is like, it resembles what we do in the summer so well. Like you just said, you know, you pulled up and we had two cars and everybody was packed in like sardines. And I just think about us driving over to the dorms, picking up the guys and then taking them over to church. And like Luke was able to take that influence and take it up to Davidson. And there has been like impact and life change because of that. And so it started here as a local, and you got to go and do big things at Davidson, and now you get to go and do it at Oregon.
Well, I think the same thing kind of happens up there. You just sort of shoot texts out, and we're like, all right, I'm leaving. You know, who's wanting to ride?
Yeah. I just text like the night before and just tell them which service we're going to go to depending on the day. And most people are like, yeah, I'm there. Like, even if it's the early service, which is hard for college students, you know, getting up and going. Mm-hmm. You know, but everybody, especially recently, has been very like, it's, you know, during soccer season in the fall, it's a little harder to get people because a lot of times we're out of town anyways. But even then, like my friends that go that aren't on the team, like they still text, like even when we're out of town, and they're like, hey, like, soccer guys are out of town. Yeah, we're going at this time. Cool. And I think that's even really cool too. Like seeing those guys like kind of grow. As well, to be like, hey, like, even though, you know, Luke is not going to be there, like we're going, and they're taking it on themselves to like get people there. And, I've been really impressed with that too. And I've seen lots of people grow a lot, including myself, but others as well, like grow up a lot in their faith and stuff. And I've gotten a journey with people since freshman year and had great conversations with people over the past 4 years about their faith journey and stuff. And it's just been very encouraging and really cool to see. So,
well, and I think that, you know, your assistant coach obviously saw that about you that is now at Oregon State. And that's part of the reason, I mean, I know that their head coach is a strong believer. We actually had an interview a couple of weeks ago with one of his former players, and he was talking about him and just what a huge impact he had had on his life. And I know that they're trying to build that culture even way up in the Northwest. And so,
and you get to be a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they're bringing you there. I mean, yes, soccer too. But they just, I think they want to see if you can help to jumpstart the same type thing you did at Davidson. I mean, that's huge. That just says so much about who you are. So we're excited to see what can happen up there. You'll have to just get plugged in and quickly, because you're not going to be there for very long.
No, I'm not. I'll be there for one semester. So
you'll just have to jump in.
But you know
in
what? That's jump in. That's enough time to get something to happen, though. It'll be an adventure for sure. So
All right. So before we wrap up, we have to tell.
We gotta tell the story. I mean, we only have time for the one.
So tell us. Tell us. Okay, so you got the invite to go to FC Dallas, and to train to be a part of their academy. The famous Luchi Gonzalez gave you the invite, who was also part of the U.S. national team coaching staff here recently. He was at FC Dallas at the time. And so why don't you just tell him real quick what happened on that trip, Luke?
When was that?
It doesn't matter. Just tell us what happened.
Ninth grade.
Yeah, well, okay. So we got there and I was, you know, we got there the night before. Coach Lucci Gonzalez had texted and said, hey, like, we have to train at 7 a.m. And we're like, all right. So we're in the wake up that morning in the hotel and getting ready. And I just was like, oh, crap. I didn't bring my cleats. I brought everything that I could have possibly needed, extras of things that I needed. But the one thing that I really needed were my cleats, and I did not bring them. And I was like, yeah, like, he's like, there's nowhere open, dude. Like, you're just going to have to text him and say, I forgot my cleats because I'm dumb. And so we told him that I didn't bring my cleats. Luckily, he was gracious enough to give me a pair, and we walked in, and there's just a wall of cleats, and he's like, have your pick. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. So I ended up had to train with some cleats I'd never worn before, but it's better than no cleats, so I was okay with it, of course. But yeah, just completely forgot my cleats going to train with SC Dallas' academy team.
I wish I had a cell phone at that time so I could have taken a picture of my dad's face. I'm pretty sure it
was. There's pictures of him after I got out of the car and gone and got my cleats, and he was like.
Because I was trying to be very calm because I didn't want to stress him out on this really important day.
True.
So he got out of the car. And then
he blew up, and I was in the car. So I'm about to give a little shameless plug to the Faith in Football Instagram, and you can go find pictures there. They'll be posted. Don't you worry.
We'll have to find them.
We're going to find them. Okay. Mom definitely has them.
Well, she sends them on her little Tom Hop all the time. Every year it pops up, and she's like, remember when you left your cleats? I'm like, thanks. I do remember that. Thank you for reminding us every single year.
So just as a reminder, just to refresh my memory, did I remind you to get your cleats before you left?
Every time we leave.
Yeah, because every time we leave the house.
Do you have your shin guards? Do you have your cleats?
You go through the checklist, uh-huh. And every single time we're like, yep, got it. And for some reason, I just didn't look to make sure I had them, even though you said, hey, look.
And lied.
So, you know... when I was up there at Davidson with you this weekend, got to hang out for a little bit with one of our former players, Trey, and Trey's at Virginia Tech now, and found out from them that they actually pack their away bags for them so that they don't forget anything.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Hey, where was that growing up, Dad? You could have done that for us.
I'm teaching responsibility because, see, the way you have to look at it now, you have to look at Virginia Tech and you have to be like, what? Are y'all a bunch of irresponsible college kids? Like, you got to grow up and pack your own bags.
I haven't left my cleats since then, I don't think.
Not that I'm aware of. Man, what a great time.
I can't recall.
What a great time this was. Luke, thanks for staying up past your bedtime and hanging out with us for a little bit. It was greatly appreciated. The local legend himself, Luke Bryant, Luke Bryant, was able to jump on the call today, and we had a great time. Luke, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time on the Faith in Football podcast. Peace.